All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's webinar hosted by MyDAM Services. MyDAM Services, efficiency through technology, scalability through people. MyDAM Services will continue to bring you fresh content and keep you updated on the current state of digital asset management, as well as what we can expect in the future. In today's session, we will be discussing the impact of AI integrated DAM software and its users. Artificial intelligence, or AI, has been a buzzword in the MarTech industry for years, but in recent months has become especially popular. But what specifically does AI enablement in DAM entail, and how will it benefit marketers? There's a certain degree of intrigue, and today we're going to visit how AI has advanced and at the same time is still not a catch-all solution. Rather, we might be viewing AI as a tool that can help get to certain solutions in a better way. And when implemented properly, how it can provide content managers a fix to a variety of issues. So, fascinating topic for sure, and I'm looking forward to this discussion. Before we get started, let's hear from our two amazing panelists that are joining us today. Ladies first, Kristen Burns, give us a little introduction of yourself. Welcome, so glad you're here.
Sure, thank you. Hey, everyone. So I'm Kristen Burns. I am working for ThoughtWorks, which is a technology consultancy. And my background is in photography and digital asset management. I'm on the user side, client side at this point. I also have a Substack called Give a Damn that we post things about the human side of digital asset management. So that's me.
That's great.
And then
that's
we have Paul.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Paul Melcher. I've been mostly in the photo industry for many, many decades, licensing content, involved in some of the important transition, like digital, as far as photography is concerned, and been operating my own consulting firm, which is caters to visual tech companies that bring technical solutions to the visual world, and specifically with companies that are involved with management of images and associated to that. I run a publication as well that's called Capture.co, okay. Talks about everything visual content, visual tech, I should say, and I've been operating that for the last 10 years, I think.
That's great. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you being here for sure. Henrik, you've been here before, right?
I have. Thanks, Frank. I'm Henrik de Geer. You may know me as the author of Another Damn Blog, the host of Another Damn Podcast, the co-founder of My Damn Services, among other things. Thanks so much for making the time. I look forward to the panel
discussion. Yeah, me too. My name is Frank DiCarlo. I'll be moderating today's event. I'm a co-founder along with Henrik with My Damn Services, and let's get going. We've prepared some questions for our panelists. With that, let's get started. And that is, what are the ethical applications of artificial intelligence? What are the pros and cons?
I think that's a very, very, very broad question. Yeah, it's kind of saying what's the ethical implications of being alive? Because, you know, it's very related to human intelligence. I think we have to take it in little parts. For one thing, artificial intelligence is currently not in a state where it is absolute intelligence. There's just in different categories. There's in visual space, there's in natural language space. There's no such thing as a general intelligence. So it's working by departments or areas where it's good at. Very good at playing chess, I hear. Very good at playing the other games. But there's no such thing as a combination of all these elements. The closest we can come to that is maybe in the research being done for self-driving cars, where there's sort of some of parts of these elements coming together to try to take control over your car and help you, well, beyond helping you drive and getting to the destination without you doing anything. So the ethical implications are numerous. You know, if we talk about, that's really a large conversation. We talk about self-driving cars, for example, there's this famous trolley principle that you study in philosophy, which whereby it's a famous example whereby a trolley gets to a point where division somewhere where on one side is there's one person on a track and the other side there's three people on the track, and you're the person operating the switch to decide on which track the train will go. And you have to decide if it goes straight to the one person or on the right to the three people. That's an ethical question. And I'm bringing that up because that's something that people have to program into artificial intelligence so that the artificial intelligence could make that decision. And currently, if you want to know the answer to that question, when you talk to Mercedes-Benz or BMW, all these people about it, they say, well, that's not up to us to decide. That's an ethical issue. Maybe the government should say something, but for a moment, we're not going to take that decision. So yeah, going back to them, obviously the questions are not life and death, hopefully. but there are, you know, it can come down to a point where if artificial intelligence, for example, would be to be allowed to edit the content in the DAM and make decisions on which image or which video or which PDF is kept and which one is deleted and things like that. You could come to decisions or the way you program your intelligence to make decisions have a lot of consequences, including, you know, being allowed to give permission to, you know, racist content or dangerous content or things like that. So that's where it becomes ethical. But it's all a question of how ethical we are as human beings, right? We train in artificial intelligence. It's very close to raising children. You teach them what is good and what is bad, and hopefully they'll take that and understand and go on with it. And artificial intelligence, it's extremely similar to that. So if we bring our biases to that artificial intelligence, it will continue on it. If we are careful not to do so, then it will not do so. So I think to finish answering your question is the ethical boundaries are our ethical boundaries as human beings, and we decide where it can and where it should not go. That's my long answer. So
yeah, I love that you brought up the trolley problem, because like you said, for DAM, it's not life or death, but also there's a trolley, which is, you know, let's call that the AI. And then there's the people. So it's really the people that are programming it, that are telling the AI what to prioritize and making sure that that is how things are seen as valuable. I just wrote today about this because I was thinking about this before this webinar, and I was just bringing it back to cropping, you know, like something as simple as cropping that I think AI does very well for DAM. It's subject matter, weighting and gravity and everything like that you can program in to make sure that it's focusing not necessarily on the center of a photo, center of a video when you need that different ratio, but finding what is the subject of the image, the asset, and then focusing on that and cropping around that. But it's all programmed by people. So if you don't put enough skin tones in there, if you only prioritize white people, then it's going to have very different crops than if you put a variety of skin tones in there and each one is recognized as a face. These are things that like we can do if we think about it. When we get to language, which languages are prioritized when it comes to cropping? You know, does it recognize different, you know, lettering? Does it recognize different alphabets? Things like that, that we again have to make sure that we include when we're programming these things. And so when you have more people in the room who have these different experiences, chances are you're going to have an AI that reflects a broader set of, you know, values or whatever values it is that we're trying to get in there. When you get into language, you know, like Paul was saying, you know, if you're not prioritizing the type of language or even putting in the taxonomy for, you know, keywords that you want to make sure that your AI that's transcribing video or transcribing audio, which another area of AI for DAM that I think is growing and could be very useful. If you don't start with, you know, a variety of names and just, you know, consider, you know, white Anglo names in there, you're going to get some very strange transcriptions. So all of these are ways that we can make AI actually more reflective of, you know, the ethical applications that we want it to have. You know, we want to make sure that it includes everything, you know, if for no other reason than so it's more accurate.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, there are works on both the ethical and the legal side of AI, because they know that it's growing and people are making money on it. And it's not always fair to every group, back to what Kristen just mentioned. So there are actually data sets that are preferred to be used or larger nowadays. They're only growing in size, realistically speaking. One of the largest data sets ever built so far to date just came out a few days ago. It's called Bloom, not Bloom like the taxonomy model, but Bloom as in big science, large, open science, open access, multilingual language model, which is a very big mouthful, but just Bloom for short. And it's slightly larger than GPT-3, which is doing a lot of AI work, as we're familiar with if you've ever seen DALL-E and things like that. And there's ethical concerns of the data sets themselves that are being used, whether they're legitimately able to be used for image creation, whether it's like text to image or video, text to video, text to speech, speech to speech, back to language challenges of recognizing other languages other than just English or other very common languages amongst European countries, for the sake of argument, to have a more inclusive group of developers and being able to be used more widely. So it's a matter of, you know, weighing the pros and cons and making sure that you're feeding the right audiences the right stuff, right? Because at the end of the day, the dam is going to hold a lot of your content, a lot of your assets, whether they're audio, video, text, graphics, photos, and potentially that AI may help remove backgrounds, may help combine assets in the near future, or separate them for that matter, and create new ones. So there is a lot of talk about DAM not just being a repository for works in progress as well as finished assets, but potentially a tool where AI is actually building those assets from scratch, where from your data sets that you may already have in their DAM or elsewhere, you build other things. Currently, I've written a book about it around keywording, where obviously auto tagging, as I've called it in the past, or autonomous tagging, where it's tagging assets appropriately in a perfect world. Usually it's on a very high level. Granted, it is not necessarily very inclusive of everything, because it doesn't know your institutional knowledge unless you train it, right? It doesn't know about other things that may be important to some groups unless they tell it that, right, and share that information. So it only knows what we've provided it or what has been provided by the individuals that have provided that information. So it's the pros and cons are there. And the ethical, well, it's not going to please everyone all the time, is the short answer. And so hopefully that answers the question.
I think it does. Or, you know, trying to please everybody all the time is a difficult feat anywhere, right? Not just with DAM and AI. Why don't we talk a little bit about how people are currently using AI within DAM? Kristen touched upon cropping, which I agree it's doing rather well. But what are some of the other things that we're seeing in how marketers are using AI with their digital asset management systems?
Sure. I mean, cropping is something that I've seen pretty successfully. Image tagging, I think the auto tagging, really depending on how you're setting that barrier, what level you're putting it to. Like we've been saying, you know, it can recognize sky, can it recognize where it is, or, you know landmarks, no people, all those things that we have to train it on. What I like about all of this, and it's the same thing I like about DAM, is that it's iterative. You know, you get started, it's pretty good. You have some time, you go back, you improve. So, if a first pass with AI gives you, 80% accuracy, and you're able to keep that, this is a little tip of like keeping that metadata that's generated kind of separate from human imported, the same way you would from, like photo metadata that you're bringing in, at the source, you can filter how much of this you want to share with people as well. So if it's good, valuable, keywords or something, then adding that into a second field of, AI generated keywords will help people for their search. So other than image tagging, semantic search, being able to repurpose that content later. I also feel like, that speech to text, you know, going back to the captioning and everything too. I mean, people, you know, for accessibility, but also for availability. Sometimes you're not in a space where you can listen to something, but you can read those captions. And that's become more and more valuable even on like YouTube and other platforms too. So I think those are ways that it's helping right now.
Do you think that AI is handling tagging a good 80% of what a company or its users might be looking for? And maybe I'm just dealing with other types of clients that are really particular about their tagging. I agree, it gives you a good start. But I found with cultures and ways certain teams refer to assets, it's still very much a human function in getting those important tags instituted, right?
Any institutional ones, I think at this point, it's still people. It's still, you know, having to be added. I haven't seen that work successfully, and maybe others have, and that would be great. If that machine learning is happening and the AI is coming back with the accurate, you know, like being able to identify models of things for phones or for other products that clients have, that would be wonderful. I think too, that's something that people struggle with. And takes a lot of time. What I find it's been used for is like a first pass, getting people started on tagging, getting people started any kind of descriptive tagging and things that people are not going to put in themselves. You know, the same way you look at a stock site and you see, you know, the 50 to 100 keywords that are in there and you're like, there's no person who's going to sit here and describe the different shades of blue in this picture. But, you know, AI is a good way to get that off your plate and then have the time to put that institutional knowledge in.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting that you bring up auto tagging as AI, because we are now getting to the second generation of helping with that solution. So yeah, the first generation, which is probably what is spread out in most DAM system right now, is the contact recognition. And if it sees a cat, it says cat. If it sees a table, it's like that. Unfortunately, it was really badly implemented because most of the DAM providers just took generically trained models to plug it into their system and say, okay, here you go for it. And as we know, a DAM is very personal to the company that's using it, and the content is very, very specific. So if I was a company in the business of selling mushrooms, for example, having a generically trained AI for keywording was not helpful, because maybe a few keywords would come up and tell me, yes, like you said, Kristen, blue sky or grass in the background, but will not provide me with the Latin terms for my mushrooms. And therefore, I'm like, this is not AI. This is completely useless. And turn it off, right? So the step that was missed was the ability to say, because an AI, like we said before, it can be trained. So if you give the AI all the pictures of all the mushrooms in the world and say, here are the different mushrooms, here are their Latin names and things like that, you can train an AI to do auto tagging for a mushroom collection and perfectly come back and say, oh, this mushroom is whatever Latin name it is. But that step has been unfortunately mostly missed by a lot of data providers. The good news, quote unquote, is that now, like Henry said, with GPT-3, natural language processing, you can do what is called semantic search. So the semantic search does not work with keywords. What it does is, you know, we'll take a picture and it's trained on understanding the meaning of a picture instead of trying to recognize the objects in the picture. And this, by the way, can work in parallel with keywords. So that's what is exciting about it. And so it will take an image and extract the meaning of it. So it allows you to do searches with natural language phrases or even expression, like under the weather, we'll bring you pictures of people looking sick instead of people, you know, holding an umbrella or in the snow or the storm or things like that. So that's very exciting, because if you already have a library with user specific keywords that has been done by DAM, you can add the semantic search to be able to retrieve even more accurate information and images, even if the keywords were not entered or entered not appropriately or the concept not entered at all, because that's also, you know, always hard to define the concept in photo. So that's where the new generation of AI is extremely useful. That's something that works today. I can be plugged in into any system, and within, depending on the size of a library, within an hour or two, can index all the images, and that would be tremendously helpful in making the search experience much more efficient without the need of spending hours writing keywords and is it the right keyword, things like that. So that's something that is to look into. The other thing is, and I think Kristen mentioned it as well, is the repurposing. So there's been a lot of talk about generative AI, and what we're seeing because of the DALL-E and other companies is images being created out of prompts, text prompts, from nothing. A lot of excitement, a lot of issues with how they were trained and things like that. But what is immediately available, regardless of all the hype around that, is what I call hybrid photography. So what it does is it will take an image that is already in your database and allow you with a click of a button to change some attributes, like adding glasses for someone or taking off the glasses or making that person smile or changing the color of their hair or things like that. All that obviously in a very, very realistic way. So that's from one image, you can customize that image into multiple variation of that image without having to go back and do a photo shoot. So example, I'm a company in the e-commerce space, and I've got models that I took a series of pictures with models of European background, for example. And tomorrow my boss says, we're gonna open stores in Asia, for example. Instead of going back to the studio and hiring new models and new photographers and creative directors and so on, you can take what you have already and just change the ethnicity of the model and change even the clothes if you need it, and then take those images and have it within an hour or less, depending on what you get, and be ready to go. The time saved, the cost saved is tremendous. You can change the background as well. So, and all that using generative AI, meaning that the intelligence behind understands the concept, understands what the elements of the images are, careful in keeping what you want to keep and replacing them, as well as keeping the lighting appropriate and things like that. So that is extremely exciting to see because it allows companies, because it's available today as well, companies to save a lot of time and resources and still using their personal assets to communicate or expand their things.
Yeah, and we actually did a poll on LinkedIn earlier where we asked, like, what is your biggest pain point that AI should resolve for digital asset management? And almost everyone said semantic search or image tagging was the choice that pretty much everyone voted on as the biggest pain point that they need fixed. Because tagging is still one of the bigger pain points, or identifying images and finding those relevant assets is still the chief challenge for most DAM users today. Because we're only accumulating more assets, and well, are we accumulating more abilities to or better abilities to search them and find them quickly, and making sure that they're as relevant as possible?
Yeah, and what's exciting on top of it is that we have up to now learned to speak computer, right? When you do a search, you enter cat plus table plus something minus something. You know, you had to have this sort of new vocabulary or language that you have to learn to extract the right image with natural language processing and semantic search. No need for that. You can say, I need a picture of a cat standing on a table with a blue background, and it will pull it out, even if those images have no keywords in it. So that's really, we can get back to using our language instead of the computer language. And that's really, you know, we're talking about artificial intelligence. That's where it's extremely useful, is an assistant to our own intelligence, right? It should not be a barrier or something that we need to learn to access the information that we want. It should be a tool that helps us along with us on the way we think and the way we work to get more of what we have already without working as much. So ultimately, I don't know if it's going to be the case. I hate making predictions, but if semantic search replaces completely keywording, just imagine all these poor people currently today having to keywords thousands and thousands of assets, and it's to me, and I apologize for that, it's going to be one of the most boring jobs in the world and tedious. But with the help of semantic search and natural language processing, then those positions can be moved to something more creative, more exciting, more less repetitive, and more constructive. So that's where I see the really good side of artificial intelligence.
And that goes back to the ethical question you were raising earlier, Paul, before we got on the call, before we went live here. We were talking about how we don't know anyone who's specifically lost their damn job because of AI, but we do know that people have had to do different tasks, and change is not always easy or welcome or all the rest of it too, but there is something to be said for the different skill sets you have. If it means editing, you know, the 30 responses you get from AI for keywords and making sure that they're the correct ones and everything, versus having to come up with those yourself or having to, you know, look at this folder of 1,000 images and being like, how am I even going to get started here? So I think that's part of it too, where you're talking about how this will, change what people's roles are. I think it does bring it back to what people do better. You know, I mean, spelling keywords is not something people do particularly well or consistently. In my experience, maybe you're all expert spellers of keywords.
It's amazing how people put in their search for certain words. Right? They don't even come close. It's very hard to come up with that many different ways to spell Philadelphia, as an example.
Yeah, well, that's something else that it solves too, because semantic search also understands typos and misspelling, so you don't have to worry. And you can, and it understands multiple languages as well. So you don't even have to translate. So, you know, if you have an international company, I'm sure that, you know, this keyword translation, you don't need to do that, because they will understand the languages as well. So yeah, a lot of time saved, and listen to them too. Hopefully nobody will lose their job because of AI and the system, but it allows them to be more creative and to be in positions that are maybe more adequate to their skill sets and expand on that instead of having to, again, to do repetitive job. And today, I think somebody wisely said that AI, as of today, replaces tasks that we human can do in about a second. And further down, it will be able to replace tasks that it takes us 10 seconds to make or a minute to make and things like that. But if it replaces tasks that we humans can do in 1 second, then good for us, you know, because that means it's not that complicated, and we should maybe not be spending our time and energy on that, and because we're more valuable than that. So therefore, be able to focus on things which takes us 2 or 3 hours to do, because that's where we as humans are probably the most efficient and qualified to do so.
Even if it's as simple as removing a background, which usually takes us longer, but a machine should be able to do it much better than us most of the time. Exactly. Of course, there's complicated backgrounds on occasion. So,
we talked a lot about tagging, which I thought we might. What other new forms of AI may be coming or already there with digital asset management we haven't touched upon?
Coming very soon to screen near you is text to video, where you'll be able to create not just still images. I mean, there's some examples already out with feature videos, but we can expect feature long movies, I guess, whereby you just enter the information and it will create that video. But for the dam industry to be able to create videos with text will be pretty impressive, considering how it's important in marketing, how important it is in marketing today to be able to do that, and how costly and time consuming it is as well. So like Henry was mentioning, I think what's gonna happen is DAM will become maybe more of a source of creation than just management of existing assets, not just in creation out of the blue, but also customization, as we say, whereby taking existing assets and being able to repurpose them according to the company needs in specific items. So we'll see the dam being much more flexible and its ability to grow and offer creative tools rather than just organizing tools. And as well as other aspects, which might not be in the visual space, but I've seen companies using partly visual AI, but although natural processing language to better understand the requirements and the needs of the audience out there. So helping when you're going to need to decide what image or video you want to post somewhere, to be able to rely on AI to tell you, well, this one will work better with that kind of audience if you place it over there, and all the way down to the length of the video, the principal colors of that video or the sound, elements like that, whereby helping you with market intelligence and feeding that back into your library of assets and saying that these particular ones are good for that, or if you change that, to be able to be much more flexible and much more to the point of what you're trying to communicate or what you're trying to do with your assets. So we are now at a stage where we can manipulate your assets. I think the next step is having an artificial intelligence that helps us to tell us how we should manipulate the assets in order to get the desired outcome that we want, and all that plugged in into our DAM so that when we're working on an asset, it will tell us, or help us, not tell us, but help us figure out the best outcome. That's some of the things that I see coming up.
Anything else? Agree. You guys? Just,
go ahead, sorry. I just wanted to follow up on the video part of that too, where the things that we've seen work fairly well for photos and images, I feel like are improving for video as well, where we're talking about, setting that gravity for where it's important to crop, or all the different ratios we're talking about for video and different applications for it. And what I think maybe the next steps, or maybe already happening and isn't in the commercial DAM space yet, is using that text recognition to get to the point where you can do, you can set certain parameters, you need this to be 15 seconds, you need this to be 5 minutes, and giving that hero asset for your video and getting all of those, cuts that you need, clips that you need from that, with AI assistance, to know that, you have that one quote completely encapsulated in that clip. And that could save a lot of time, especially for our video editors.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so video and images will definitely be on the forefront, whether it's any visual media or audio media as well, where, no one wants to scrub through lots of audio to find the clip that they really care about. And grand transcription is pretty simple by today's standard, which is mostly AI generated, because the machine generation transcriptions are pretty good. No transcription is actually perfect, because the people who are transcribing typically aren't the ones who actually created the audio in the first place, so they don't have the full context, so neither does the AI. No transcription is perfect, but machine transcription is definitely faster than humans, anyone who's used it before can attest to, especially nowadays. But it works for video as well, to find the clip that you actually care about if there's audio involved. But the new AIs that analyze video analyze the scene as well. So there's, like, if you're looking for the beach scene, obviously you're not looking for sounds of waves, but whatever is visually in that video for that B-roll or whatever that might be. So that if you can visually search for video without scrubbing through the entire video, so be it. Same thing with audio, same thing with other media that will be coming shortly beyond audiovisual media that's probably still in the development phase, but is coming soon to synthetic media in general.
Yeah, that's very true. What about, what do you think the biggest points AI should be resolving for DAM? What do you think it could, or maybe what it is? We talked a little bit about what some of the things that are useful today, but what do you think it should be resolving in the future?
Workflow. I think the biggest missing part of AI right now, to me, is workflow, helping users of DAMs operate their DAM system at at best. And I hear a lot of conversation whereby users do repetitive tasks, and some of them can be annoying, difficult to get the assets into production and to different departments and so on. And so what I would love to see is maybe a demo system that would where users could teach the DAM how they use it, how they need to use it, how the process are inside their company. And so the DAM would adapt itself and help them by reconfiguring its interface as well, and showing just the screens that they need to see and the menus that they need to see, and not the ones they don't want to see. So that eventually, after a while, it becomes completely customized to their specific needs and the way they operate their creative services internally. So it's a big ask, because it's a lot of customization, and every company and every system is a bit different. But I think that will be the ultimate part, and it's a form of artificial intelligence that is not really available yet. As we were talking about before, it would have to learn about process and importance and governance, and a lot of different aspects of it. But ultimately, yeah, that's what I would love to see happening, is an AI that supports and helps users in their day-to-day operations of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, things that can make people work smarter and not have to do the drudgery and focus their time more on creative tasks, and really, you know, thinking through what the, you know, what the assets should be and what's needed, what needs to be added to them, how they need to be shared and how they need to be delivered. You know, that's the kind of thing that I think people do really well. And so anything that AI can focus on that is what machines do very well, I think is the direction they should be going. You know, when we talk about the ethics of this, bring it back at the beginning, you know, all of these responses of, you know, what is it going to focus on? What is it going to, you know, include? What are we going to do with the information that we get from, you know, I see in the chat, the facial recognition, that kind of thing is, you know, it's only as ethical as the people using it. You know, AWS moved away from their facial recognition software when they found that it was inaccurate for most people of different races. And it was being used in law enforcement incorrectly. So, you know, you can have this data, and that one wasn't particularly accurate, but even if it is very accurate, it's what you do with that data that really brings up the ethical questions. If you're using it internally to make sure that the photo you have of the 30 people at the board meeting, everybody has their correct tags on there and spelled correctly, and the person who couldn't make it isn't accidentally tagged in there, and the person who left is, you know, maybe cropped out of the next one, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, these are the kind of usages where it can be as ethical as the people who are using that data that the AI generates.
I think it's a matter of ease of use, right? And the faster it's able to be ramped up and used as easily as possible, so there is no, like, Paul's point of knowing how to speak its language and figuring out the computer language and to search for something or do a specific workflow. If it's able to literally learn by it watching you doing a workflow in said system, preferably in the system itself, right? So it's an enclosed area and learning, okay, well, you click on that and then you repeat, and then it learns over time. Okay, so this is this kind of workflow, and then you name it that way. I would love to see that kind of workflow being just systemized that way, because it learned based on n number of users, or the same user for that matter, that this is how you do whatever the task is, and then just click on the automate task, and it does it automatically, because it's been done, the exact same steps have been taken X number of times, or very similar steps. And then there's probably still needs to be an approval process of a human in the loop for many AI tasks, to making sure that things still are working as expected, versus just hoping and praying that, oh yeah, the AI will do it for me. And of course it'll do a perfect job, because we're not there yet. And there's still a fair amount of iteration that is allowed and should be a variable in that space of saying, well, make me an image with, you know, a blue sky and a cow. It's like, okay, well, there's a lot of parameters there. What else do you want in there? Or what do you not want in there, right? Do you want the slaughter factory in there? Probably not. But if you're the meat factory, yes, probably yes. And you, I want it with my logo. So it's a matter of who the client is and who what's the end use, right? So it's really a matter, and then back to the point around facial recognition, Google, interestingly enough, still does facial recognition, but they don't recognize it by name. They recognize it by the pattern of the face, and it's opt-in, opt-out, because it would be the stalker's dream if it recognized everyone on the planet throughout the web and find every image of this individual, right? So they recognize that, and that would be a big no-no, and it should be not allowed. So it is not allowed that way, to be used that way. So it's a matter of finding the images that are relevant based on the facial patterns. And 99% of the time, it's pretty accurate. And yes, of course, it has its quirks and errors. It's a matter of using them so that it finds people, you know, that you want to find, potentially friends and family amongst Google Photos, for example. That works quite well. Granted, if you can have that same technology in DAM, that's working properly for your organization or your company, great. Especially if it's recognizing people photos in at parties or events or conferences, that kind of thing, right? You know, removing them as necessary if they're no longer appropriately associated to your organization for a variety of reasons. So there's a variety of choices to be made, right? AI comes down to choices. It's like, well, should I be doing it or should the machine be doing it? Is it worth my time or is it better that a machine does it? Will a machine do it better than me? Should a machine do it better than me? Or should a machine do it, period? Because it's not a matter of taking away jobs for the most part. Just like, you know, painters didn't really lose their job from the camera, right? Horses didn't really lose, you know, their job from a car. Because, you know, I'm sure they're happy being in a field instead. It's a matter of, you know, everyone thought, you know, oh, those poor typewriter repairmen from all those computers that are going to come. No one really cares about them anymore because those don't exist for the most part. And the few that are still in existence, they're very well employed by the handful of people who still care about typewriters. So it's really a matter of, you know, evolving with the times and understanding what is the tools out there, as far as AI is concerned, will help do for us, especially when it comes to DAM in this conversation. And there's probably a lot more room for DAM vendors to grow, but it's going to come, honestly, in my opinion, from the clients asking for it more than the DAM vendors providing it. So it's really, if the clients demand it or want it or want to pay for it, the vendors will likely follow suit, especially if someone's going to flip the bill.
Yeah, I want to touch upon the face recognition issue. It's not something you want to do associated with them for a couple of reasons. First, the facial recognition inside a company is something too important that you don't want to leave that to a machine to figure it out. And I'll give you examples. If you're dealing with a CEO of a Fortune 500 company and making sure that you recognize his name and his face, especially if you're asking a department to share those pictures to the outside world for communication or things like that, you better make sure that you're sending out the right image and not somebody else with the wrong name or the wrong face. And if you leave that just to a machine to decide, it might make the mistake of labeling the wrong person with the wrong name. And I don't think any companies want that or can afford that. The second is there's not so many people that you need to recognize into a DAM system that you need to automate that. Unless if your company is in the business of selling people, which I don't think that exists, you know, you have, you know, just a handful of pictures with people in it that you need to identify, and that can be done manually and should be done manually. The second reason is that there's more and more privacy laws happening in the United States. There's some states, I believe Ohio and others, have a very specific opt-in policy whereby people have to say it's okay for a system to recognize them. And Facebook and others have been sued and lost because of those laws. And I think there's three or four states in the United States already with those laws in place, and it's probably going to be more. And that's without counting the European Union, which is also looking into those privacy laws and things, which, you know, based on their history, will probably go the same route. So again, if you have an international company, you know, having a facial recognition system into your DAM means that you have to make sure that everybody in the company has opted and agreed to be recognized. And what do you do when they leave the company? Is that you erase all the images and things like that? So it creates a nightmare again for what, a handful of pictures that are really, you know, that someone can and should, again, should captured by hand to make sure that it's not making a mistake and giving the wrong name to the wrong person and things like that. So the technology is here. And as Henrik said, yeah, you know, I use Google Photos, and it's amazing how even if you have somebody in three quarters and dark light will recognize your face. I'm amazed every time you can do that. So the technology is there, but I don't think in a DAM environment it should be used for all these reasons I mentioned.
I mean, we used it internally for photos because we used photos of colleagues in just the regular website photos as opposed to stock photography. And one area it has helped is when we lose institutional knowledge. So if somebody leaves a company and was like the office manager in that location and no longer people know who was at that event 5 years ago or whatever that is too. But I do agree with the idea of the right to be forgotten, or however it's phrased in Europe. I think it's something like that. For us, it's a company being able to remove them so that they're no longer in use, which was not happening before. So in that case, it's actually helping a little bit with the goal of removing people who don't want to be included. And then, you know, really going back to the shoots themselves and making sure that it's only opt-in and people are only photographed and sign releases if they want to be included too. So, but yeah, I can understand. It does open up a whole lot of ethical questions. And then also it does need that editor at the end. It needs that human at the end to make sure that that is the CEO or that is the, you know, the person who's left the company as well. So it can't really replace. But for us anyway, it's given us more information than we had before including these kind of tags. But yeah, I can see the ethical implications as well.
That's great. I want to thank everybody. I'm going to wrap this up. I want to thank everybody for some really interesting conversation. Gave me, and I think he gave all of us, a lot to think about. I think what's really going to be interesting is looking at this video maybe a year from now. With the advancements that have just happened and maybe in the last 3 months, I think is astounding in the AI world. So stay tuned to how it's going to continue to affect all of us, especially within digital asset management. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And until next time, be well.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
All right.